Pray with me as we get started in the Word. Heavenly Father, we are looking to your Word now. We want to hear from you. We need to hear from you, O Lord. There are so many things in our lives that are a burden to us or a distraction to us that keep us from looking to you. Forgive us of our sins. Carry away the burdens. Allow your Spirit to minister to our hearts in a wonderful and powerful way. Help us to leave here changed, for we can only be changed when we truly come into your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been studying three dimensions of spiritual maturity in the last few weeks from the book of Ephesians, so you'll want to turn to the book of Ephesians. We've been looking at the hope that is ours because of what God has done and because of the work of Christ. We have been looking at the vastness of our inheritance, or as the text says, the riches of the glory of the inheritance, or the riches of his glorious inheritance. You'll want to remember that, the riches or the vastness of our inheritance. And then we've also looked at the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us. The immeasurable greatness of his power towards us. And this power was demonstrated in what happened to Jesus. So the Father raised the Son and seated him at the right hand of glory. The same thing that he did for the Son, he has done for us. This is how the power of God was manifested in our lives. We were dead, but he has made us alive. He has quickened us. He has raised us from the dead, and he has seated us at the right hand in the heavenlies. This is our position in Christ. Praise be to God for what he has done for us. And because of what he has done for us, we should give testimony to it. And there are two ways to give testimony, or to give praise to God for what he has done and for the salvation that he has brought about in our lives. One of the ways is like when we sing here and we're worshiping the Lord and we're singing about the great things that he has done in the songs that we sing and the lyrics of those songs, just amazing. And we can give praise to him for that. I was standing in the back, as you know, since it took me so long to get up here to the front. I was standing in the back and I saw Dustin. I'm going to embarrass you here. Dustin is praising the Lord. He's raising his hand. And then he was holding Sawyer, his two-year-old son. And they turned a little bit, and I saw Sawyer raising his hand in praise to the Lord. Isn't that great? By the way, it's okay to raise your hand when we're praising the Lord. So if the Lord is moving on your heart to raise your hand when we're singing, then go ahead and raise your hand. It'd be great. I mean, I see a number of people, and it's only on this side. I don't know what's wrong with you guys over here. See a number of people over here raising their hand and praise to the Lord, and that's great. And it would be great if we just... If that was all over the place. Now, don't do it just for show, obviously. You're doing it out of a sincere expression of praise unto God, but it's okay to raise your hands and praise to him. That's one way in order to give praise, by singing and worshiping him, and that's what we're doing here this morning. There's another way to give praise unto God, and it is by giving testimony from our mouth to others. So we're praising God, we give testimony and thanks to God, we praise him for what he has done, but we also give praise to God by declaring it in this world, okay? We declare it in this world. And so we share the gospel. Oh, man, I meant to get a tract. Do we have any tracts back there? Do we have some tracts? All right, so one way to share the gospel is by using a tract. And we have some tracts. A tract is it's just a small little booklet like this, and it goes through the steps of how to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So we've got some in the back. As I was a new Christian growing up in the church, we had what was called the four spiritual laws. So that was kind of the big thing, and people used that. How many of you have heard of the four spiritual laws? All right, good. A number of you have heard of the four spiritual laws. That's just another tract. And there are many, many tracts out there. It is a simple way. Sometimes you go in a... Right now, they're like sometimes they're like credit cards. So everything is on the credit card about being saved. And I see them like in restaurants or in the bathrooms of restaurants. And, you know, people just kind of leave them here and there. One clever way of sharing the gospel was a piece of paper that looked like a $100 bill. So they lay them on the ground, and it looks like looks just like a $100 bill, and you pick it up, and of course it's fake, but on the other side is the gospel message. So there are many ways to use those things in order to help give testimony to other people. Another way of sharing the gospel is by using what's called the Romans Road. How many of you have heard of the Romans Road? All right, so there's just four verses in Romans that just kind of take you through the gospel. Four key verses that bring out the elements of the gospel, and that's another way. If you learn the Romans Road, You can share the gospel. One of the ways, another way that we can share the gospel, and this is the way that I'm going to emphasize and talk about this morning, it is about sharing a testimony of how Jesus has changed your life. Okay, so you're sharing the gospel, and the method that you're using to share the gospel is by sharing what Jesus has done for you. So there's really three steps. What were you like before Jesus? How you came to know Jesus? And how your life has been different since Jesus. Okay, that's a testimony. It is a personal testimony of the work of Christ in your life. And so when you go to share, I like to use this one the most, honestly, because it's personal and it's engaging. And look, this happened to me. What he did for me, he can do the same thing for you. And so you share how you were before Christ, how you came to Christ, and how your life has changed since then. And my life is a testimony of that. My life changed drastically when I gave myself to Christ. I just changed direction completely and went after him. And here I am, standing up and preaching in front of you. I was so afraid of getting up in front of people to speak. In ninth grade, we had to give an oral presentation, a book report. I was so terrified of having to do that, I tried to change classes, change teachers. How ironic is that? Now here I am every week, you know, getting up in front of people and speaking. The Lord has a sense of humor sometimes, doesn't he? Okay, so what were you like before Jesus? How you came to Jesus? And what your life has been like since Jesus? That is your testimony, and it is giving glory to God for the work that he has done in your life. There are four sections in chapter 2 of Ephesians. So turn to Ephesians chapter 2. There are four sections, and in each of these sections, it follows this similar pattern, especially in the first 10 verses. It expresses in this passage, Ephesians 2, and there's so many things that we could talk about in Ephesians 2, but in each of these sections, there's some element to what we were like before Jesus, what Jesus has done in our lives to transform us, and how we should be after Jesus. So that's Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to focus in on that. So our first point this morning is this. Amazing depths. Amazing depths. Now, I'm using the word amazing here in this first point as how, like this way, how did this happen? This is unbelievable. This is terrible. How did we sink so far? I am amazed that this has taken place. That's how I'm using the word amazing here. It is not the positive, like in amazing grace. This is how did we sink to such depths? This is amazing. The passage says things like this. We were dead because of sin. Dead. Not physically, not emotionally or mentally necessarily, but dead spiritually. We were dead because of sin. We were so far gone. Hopeless. In the depths of depravity. That was us. In the first few verses there, the first three verses of Ephesians 2, it says this, and you, he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, you were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. That was our situation before Jesus. And that is your situation if you're here and you do not believe in Jesus. This is where you are at. This is where we were at. Spiritually dead, children of wrath. This following the spirit who works in the sons of disobedience. That's the devil. We were without Christ, separate from the promises of God, without hope, without God. Practically speaking, we lived according to the rest of the world. We just took in what they were saying. We believed their ideas. Just absorbed their philosophies. We were like the world. We lived according to the course of this world. Or we just lived like everybody else. We were marked by rebellion against God. Values and norms and priorities, they were of the world. They were not of God. We were guilty of materialism and pride and self-centeredness. This is how we were. We lived by what seemed right to us in our own eyes, according to what we thought about things. We did what everyone else thought and what they were doing rather than what God says is right and true. We followed after the prince of the power of the air. This is another reference to the devil here. He is active and he is at work here where we are at, as opposed to being confined in some fiery kingdom like the world wants to make it. In other words, the world wants to put the devil in hell away from here, but he is not there. He is here attacking us and tricking us and deceiving us and ruining us. We walked after him. We lived according to our own passions, it says. We followed after the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Listen to this list in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. Galatians 5, 19 through 21. These are the verses directly before Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. And Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23 is a list of the fruits of what? The fruits of walking in the Spirit. All right, so this is the few verses before the fruits of the Spirit. This is the fruits of the flesh. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. This is how we were before Jesus. The thrust of our passage here is like, you were like this, but something has changed now, right? We are no longer like that. Something fundamental has changed because of what God has done, because of what Jesus has done. Something at the core of our life, we were spiritually dead, and we needed something that only God could do. And so when we go out and share the gospel, this is a good place to start in your testimony. So think about this for yourself. So just kind of formulate in your own mind what you were like before Jesus. Maybe you were guilty of some or more than one of the things that I read in the list from Galatians chapter 5, 19, but it doesn't matter. Even the slightest infraction put us apart and separate from God. He is holy and we are not. And we were in the depths of despair. Start there. This is my life before Jesus. The second thing in sharing our testimony is the amazing grace of God. So this is how I was, and this is what God did for me. So we're sharing our testimony. We're telling people I was a sinner. I had no direction. I was confused. I had all kinds of guilt, all kinds of things weighing down on my heart. But I heard about Jesus, and he changed my life. He forgave me of my sins, he made me alive, and now I belong to him. And so we transition into the work of Jesus in our lives, and it is not based on anything that we do, because none of us are good enough. None of us are good enough in order to earn our salvation. I was looking for some illustrations on how to demonstrate this, that it is impossible for us to earn our salvation. So one illustration was a turtle digging a hole. He hears that this flood is coming, so he's digging this hole, and he's digging and he's digging and he's digging, and everybody is amazed that he's digging, and the floods come, and of course it just blows by the hole, doesn't even recognize it. Another illustration was that you had a man out in the desert, and there's a sandstorm, and he's got a little broom, and he's just trying to broom away the dirt from away from his feet, the sand from his feet. Impossible. The The wind keeps blowing, the sand keeps coming, impossible to get out of there. I was teaching VBS one year, and I put this, I put a piece of tape here, and I put a piece of tape about like right here, and I said, okay, we're going to jump. You know the long jump, right? You can run as far as you want, you jump, you gotta clear the tape. Now, of course, it was impossible. It was bigger, you know, it was longer than the world record for the running long jump. But the amazing thing was this. All the kids, the guys, the boys especially, they were sure if they had another chance, they'd be able to do it. So they're lining up and jumping and lining up and jumping. And of course, they're only getting this far and they can't see that, well, this is impossible. There's no way I'm going to make it over there. But it's kind of funny, but it reflects people's efforts. If I just try a little harder, if I just do a little better, everything's going to be okay. And no matter how hard we try, no matter how much better we do for how long a period of time, it will never be enough. God is holy, and we are not. And so, we come to this verse, and this is the grace of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 6 is just kind of one passage emphasizing this. Look what it says. God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And he raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. For his rich mercy and his great love and his amazing grace. Notice how it says, you remember, one of our the dimensions of spiritual maturity, you remember that one of them was that we understand the riches of his glorious inheritance, right? Remember that, the riches of his inheritance, the vastness of his inheritance. It is a similar word here that's used for mercy. God who is rich in mercy. Rich in mercy. It points to the overabundance of the mercy of God that he has extended towards us. And then, in verse 7, the next verse, I didn't read it. It talks about the riches of his grace. And that is the same word that's used with respect to our inheritance. His grace is vast. His grace. Now, it's easier for us to understand when we're talking about mercy and when we're talking about grace to understand the vastness of the blessing that he has given to us. It is vast. It is immeasurable. It is according to the riches of God that he gives to us. That is what he extended to us when he saved us. Now, in our song, I think it was the second one, Jesus, Thank You, we sang, I just wrote the phrase here, We sing of the riches of your glorious grace. That's the phrase in the song, the riches of your glorious grace. And we understand that, and that's the key here. It is exactly parallel to our passage, the riches of your glorious inheritance. It's just the same thing. It's the same idea. When God came to us, he didn't just say, like when I treat my cat, I got three or four just little teeny things like this. He follows me all over the place. I say meow and he meows. It's just great, you know, just from four little things. But God, when he blesses us, he doesn't give us just a little treat that's the size of our fingernail. No, it is like a tsunami of blessing that just comes rushing in over us. This is the grace of God. This is the mercy of God. And we need every single drop of it. Because it is impossible for us. We are saved by his grace. His rich, vast grace. We are saved by grace through faith. And that's what it says in verse 8. This is another fantastic verse. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Even that is the gift of God. Praise be to God for his mercy and his grace. He comes to us. He transforms us. It is not us, it is him. All him. Praise be to him. In shadows deep where hope had fled, I knelt beneath the weight of dread. Yet mercy whispered through the night, a voice of love, a beam of light. Not earned, not bought, no debt repaid, this gift of grace so freely laid. It reached beyond my shame and scars and held me close within his arms. When I was lost, he knew my name and bore my cross, endured my blame. The nails, the thorns, the crimson flood, all poured from grace, all sealed in blood. Now every breath, a sacred song to him who writes what once was wrong. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that lifts the soul from sinking ground. So let me walk this narrow way with grateful heart and feet of clay. For though I stumble, still I rise, held by the one who never lies. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. The passage also says, Ephesians chapter 2 also says, he loves us with a great love. And we know that, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He did this while we were dead in sins. And this is so contrary to how people often think. People often think, if I just start doing right, if I just start going back to church, if I just start making a change, then God will receive me. But no, that is our thinking. That is work-based. We don't receive the grace of God and the salvation of God just because we manage to get it a little better. We receive the grace and the mercy of God when we fall on our knees before him and say, Lord, have mercy upon me. And he does. Lord, be gracious to me. And he is. Lord, do you love me? Yes, he does. Have mercy and forgive. He has mercy and he forgives. By his great power, again, in our passage, he made us alive together with Jesus. He raised us up together with Jesus. He seated us in the heavenlies with Jesus. He did this by his great power. And he does it in order to make a display of the amazing grace that he has had towards us. He does it in order to demonstrate that salvation belongs to him and he has granted it to us. Not by our works, but by his work. Once we were far off, but now brought near to God through Jesus' blood. Verse 13. He has broken down everything that separated us from him. He has made peace with us. He has reconciled us to himself. All in chapter 2. This is an amazing chapter here. All that God has done for us. This is how we come to salvation. It is all God's doing. It is all God's doing. So, when we share the gospel, we can share the gospel by giving a testimony. I was like this, in my sins, far from him. No matter how hard I tried, I could never succeed. But his grace came to me. His blood was shed for me. I gave my life to him on my knees. Father, forgive me. And he did. And so my life is changed. My life is transformed. And this is my testimony. And then we come to the third point this morning. Amazing work. Amazing work. So you share your testimony. This is how it was. This is how I was changed. And now this is how it has been since then. An amazing work. And we find this in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Positionally, we have peace with God. We are fellow citizens and members of the household of God now. That is where we are. That is our residence. That is our home. We have access to our Heavenly Father by the ministry of the Holy Spirit and by the presence of Christ at his right hand. And so Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven." The idea that we could come into the presence of God and make a request of him, as unworthy as we are, is just beyond us. It would be the ultimate expression of pride to assume that we have right into his presence. But we don't come because of our own merit and our own goodness. We come in the name of Jesus. We come because of what he has done for us. And so we come into the presence of the Father. Oh Lord, Father God, I am here by Jesus who shed his blood for me. Have mercy upon me yet again. And not only that, he has created us to be a temple in which he dwells. We could spend a lot of time talking about that. Practically speaking, I just want to zero in on verse 10 again. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We were created for good works. So, this is how I was before, a sinner far from God. He came to me and saved me and brought me close to him. And not only did he reconcile us, but he made me, he wound me up and said, "Go, now serve me, now live for me. I have blessed you to do that." And so we have been created for good works. We are not saved by those good works. He has saved us. He has filled us with his Spirit. He has done the work, and now we imitate him. We should be imitators of God. It is amazing the parallels between what he has done and what he has called us to do. And it's like Dustin being an example to his child, Sawyer. He's praising the Lord, and Sawyer is 2 years old. He doesn't know. He's just doing it because his father's doing it. And that's okay. Hey, look, our kids are watching us. They're watching what we're doing. They hear every word we say. They hear the way we say every word, whether it's good or bad. They see where we're going or where we're not going. They are watching us. And it's not just, now that's obvious, okay? Our kids are watching us. But, you know, everybody, we're all watching each other, you know? We just tend to do that. We just keep an eye. We're looking out. We're watching the other person there and make sure you guys, you know, that they stay in the up and up. People are watching you, and that's okay. We're to be examples of Christ. So speak like Christ, live like Christ, walk like Christ, and then let them all watch me as much as they want. Now, you know, there's this threat of this, cyber hacking and cyber security, and, you know, somebody's going to penetrate my computer and see everything that I've done. How many of you are afraid that that's going to happen to you? Don't raise your hand. And I often think, all right, well, you know, if the Chinese or whoever, maybe I shouldn't have said that, but if somebody decides to look at my computer, that's okay with me. They're going to see a whole lot of Bible studies and sermons and a whole lot of testimony for Jesus, and maybe they'll get saved by doing that. Now, of course, we got hacked recently and stole our credit card and purchased one of those bikes, what are those electric bikes called? Hay bike? That's another one. And so I bought one of those and it showed up on my doorstep. $2,000 bike. It's like, no, I don't think I ordered a $2,000 bike. And then, you know, $700. There was like $3,000 worth of charges made to our account, and we had to shut down several of our, like, Amazon and Walmart and eBay. So getting hacked is no fun. We had to get a new credit card number, and that was no fun. But if somebody wants to stare at me and look at what I do, well, that's okay. Well, I'm on the internet a lot. You know, I've been preaching a long time, so, you know, there's no secrets here. We are examples to others. As Christians, we want them to look at us, and we want them to model us. I want you to model me, and I hesitate to say that. I have a clear conscience, but still, you know, that's kind of scary. But that's biblical. You follow me as I'm following Christ. And let me follow you as you're following Christ. That's the Christian way. We were created for good works. And so let these good works abound in our lives. We are not saved by these works, but these works are a necessary reflection of the God we serve. We emulate Him. We imitate Him. He does what is good, and we should do what is good too. He speaks what is right and does not lie. We should speak what is right and not lie. We should bear one another's burdens. We should be compassionate. We should be merciful. We should be just like Him. And every act of service to one another in the name of Jesus is for His glory and is considered one of these good works that we will be blessed for and He will be glorified by. Mark chapter 9, verse 41 says, now listen to this. This is how important our good works are. Whoever of you gives a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, assuredly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. If you give a cup of water in my name, because you are Christ's, you will receive a reward for that. Here's another one, part of a parable that Jesus shared. Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 34. This is the parable of a king. The king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. So, let your life abound in good works. It is natural, spiritually natural, for you to abound in good works because He has made you for that. You share the gospel. This is how I was a sinner, saved by grace, and my life has never been the same since. That is our testimony. So let us go forward and give an amazing testimony of the amazing God who loved us and saved us. Amen. We're going to sing one more song. If you need